with mm. children. But we were talking, and I interrupted you. We were talking about when you got back to England from Bermuda.
Yes.
And Mrs. Pankhurst never told you exactly what she was doing. You just went off, and you never argued about it.
We always knew she was talking. We knew she was lecturing and talking, because we'd heard her speak in a lot of places, halls, and heard different things. It must have been taken along or being present.
Mm.
So we knew she talked, spoke. Mm. And I was taken to see her on my 13th birthday, and of course I didn't realise that she was ill. She was ill then. She got pneumonia, and I went to see her, and she was marvellous. That thing, that was the only time I can remember her really kind of hugging, kissing, and kind of weeping over me. She was delighted to see me again, her last chick, and say goodbye to everything else. I didn't see her again. I didn't realise she was ill. She was ill then. And I didn't see her again. She died. I was going to tell you about the cemetery thing. I wasn't supposed to go to the cemetery. Anyway, some noble suffragette saw me in the crowd. I was being held by a phone by the hand by another suffragette lady. And she leapt out of this car. I never had found out who this lady was. And gave me her place in this funeral car. And so I went tooling along. And the people were tooling. I mean, what is 16 abreast down this Brompton Cemetery. You know, Brompton Cemetery is like a road.
Yes.
And there were all these ladies and people, and I was given to the care of a very stout lady, and said, "Now, you hold on to this child, and don't lose her, and she's got to go back to so-and-so," you know, another coin dropping to a slot, you see. And I recognised her as Auntie Kate, but Auntie Kate didn't seem to know me. She was weeping. She was absolutely desolate, you know. She really was desolate. And so presently, I said to her, "I think this is the right way, Auntie Kate." And I pulled her along here. She said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And she kind of grabbed me and she said, "I said, I'm there." And she said, "Oh," and she went off to tears. I never seen Auntie Kate weep. And she was so amazed and delighted at having one of her children back, even though she wasn't so fond of us, but we were a little club of another. And I remember now Flora Drummond, who was my godmother, I was named Flora after her. And there she was, very short, square, absolutely, just a block, a cube. She really was, and very small. And I said, "What is it? Rally to the flat, girls, for the last time." And I remember this because it was really kind of Salvation Army stuff, and all marching, da 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 da, and it really was like a hockey match going down that Brompton Avenue. Of course, it wasn't funny then; it was grievous because the people who did love Mother were heartbroken. They thought it's the end of the women's fight. She was fighting them for ages, both the women, same age as men.
That's right. Did you see much of Flora Drummond, actually, you know, throughout your childhood?
Not throughout her childhood, but when I was a very young baby, I expect I was introduced or said, "This is your godmother," or she dared to be on her knee.
Yes.
So I remember this kind of round, happy face, very cheerful looking face. And I must see her again when we were in London, say with Aunt Ada, that's before I went down to these people to be lodged. And I must have seen it off and on then, like that.
But you lost touch, did you, later on?
Oh, yes, yes. I never went on. We were, really, I suppose we were quite good. We didn't hang on. We were very obedient children, I think. It must have been what we were told to do, we did. But I don't think we ever thought of hanging on. Mother always said, "Don't lean, don't..."
Christabel? You lost touch with her, really, because she said...
Well, I was readopted, and, as I say, went up to London each year to see this car, who was wonderful to me, and this was what she told me.
And she said,
I wasn't hurt then. I didn't mind. I said, "Oh, really? I was just amazed. You know, I couldn't think there was anything wrong." You see, but then later, when I was grown up, over 21, then I began to think, "Well, you know, what's the matter with us?"
Anyway, you weren't Christabel's adoptee, were you? Anyway, so I suppose you know. You wouldn't be hurt, and it wasn't as though Mrs. Pankhurst had said that.
I mean, she couldn't have afforded to help us or anything if we were.
Was Christabel actually at the funeral? I suppose she was, wasn't she? And Sylvia, too, I suppose, at Mrs. Pankhurst's funeral. Maybe you didn't notice them.
Can't remember.
Yes.
Can't remember at all.
Anyway, you lost touch really with the whole suffragette thing once you
absolutely
got readopted.
Yes, absolutely. And, all my little bits and pieces and treasures, they vanished slowly out of the house where I was adopted. And this was Miss Phoebe's way. She wasn't cruel. She didn't have to snatch everything away at once.
No, she just gradually separated
you.
Yes.
Which is quite wise, really. I mean,
how did they get hold of Miss Beavis, actually? She
had her name down the Adoption Society to adopt a child. Mm. Now, she was a spinster, so she couldn't do it nowadays.
No.
This was in 28.
Mm.
And she
called. I see, yes. So there was no suffragette connection.
Yes, she was allowed to do it. Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah. That's really awfully interesting.
The thing which was shown on there, really, with her dealings with Sylvia, is severe, think for yourself, do it for yourself. Mm. She's grim. And there was another episode there where she turned on one of her faithful suffragettes, servant, you know, adoree, what her name was,
yes.
I believe it's in history, what it is.
Yeah.
And she turned on in a fury because while she'd been away, this woman had preached something or done something, and it seemed so ungrateful.
Mm. That's right. Yes, I mean, she was a very passionate
some
woman.
Of that stuff I thought, well, Mother couldn't have been like that, but of course, future events have shown that she was rather
than
that, so she might have been.
Yes. Yes. Did she actually age a lot while you were with her? Do you remember her looking old?
She was always beautiful. Always quite beautiful.
Was she?
Yes.
Mm. Beautifully dressed?
Yes. Always meticulous. I never saw her dress. And this is amazing. It was in Aunt Ada's house. I believe I had to sleep in her bed in her room in the morning. I was told to get up and go and change her dress in the bathroom. So I never saw Mother dress. She never did anything intimate in front of us at all.
Mm. So she was like a sort of queen in a way.
Yes, always.
Yes.
Just like that.
Yes. What about games, Mrs. Hodgson? Did she have ideas of what sort of games children should play? Or did she... you danced, of course, a lot, didn't you? But you didn't play sort of card games or parlour games or anything like that.
No. She never put herself out for us at all.
Mm.
Not ever. Not ever. In Bermuda, we went to Bermuda, this was before her undergated advance, so I suppose Mother was a little bit lost, really. She got to look after the children and herself, and so she wanted us to swim. Well, we had done some swimming in Canada, off and on, I suppose, different places, so we could splash like togs. And she used to go in a serge bathing suit, a serge skirty thing. I can always draw it for you, and a kind of mob cap, real kind of bathing hut business. And she used to go in and dog paddle. That's all she did. She didn't really swim, just paddle runners. And she wanted us to swim. So she got an old Bermudian, this black lady, and he said, oh, well, I'll teach her to swim, have any old time. So he said, all right, take her. So we three, Kathleen, Joan, myself, he put us in his boat and he took us out. And the water's very deep, very suddenly in Bermuda. It's go along there, and suddenly real deep water. He took us out of the bay and there was Mother sitting contentedly watching us from this garden. And he threw us overboard, just like three little swims, and we really couldn't swim, honestly, we were just paddling. And he rowed away, and we had to swim after him. She was horrified. He was horrified, but we swam.
Did you mean that? And
the Bermudians do throw a little bit their little babies in.
Yeah.
And they all swim. It's an island, they've got to swim. But Mother was horrified, yeah. It just shows how unsafe she was. She had no idea of looking after little children.
Yes.
I don't suppose she did bring up her children. I didn't see much in that film either how she did that, because you just see them when they're older, don't you?
Did she give you presents at all, ever?
If she did, it would have been something sensible, like a book.
Yes, I mean, you don't remember.
Nothing pretty or nice.
Mm.
So we always delighted with some more shoes or something to wear like this, but it wasn't anything that we didn't need. It wasn't something pretty to wear, because it was useless. It was always something you needed at that time, you see.
Mm. So they were useful presents.
Yes.
Yeah. But she did get much poorer. Did you notice that, actually, later on? No, we wouldn't have known. You were quite well looked after, really, were you? I mean,
all the time, yes.
Yes. It's a most fascinating childhood to have had, actually.
But when the lady Foot said to me on the phone, but it was a happy childhood. I said, oh, yes, it was. And other people said this to me. Mm-hmm. So, somebody, a video friend said to me, well, you've given your children a happier child than you had yourself. And I looked at her in astonishment, even now, as a grown-up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what are you talking about? You're a marvellous child.
It was happy.
Very happy.
Yes.
Never unhappy.
But you can see what...
Mother got on to the libraries as soon as we got anywhere in France. In Paris and in Antibes and Jean-Lapin. We were introduced to libraries at once, And I don't think we read a lot of French. I can't believe we would be able to read a lot of the French in the Britain state. But we read everything. And I remember down in Jean-le-Pin, which it was boring, I suppose they were running the tea shop. And this thing had all these scars of all the exiled English were in this library. They've already given everything. It was Thackeray, Ruskin, Dickens, deadly stuff. And we read everything, Elizabeth and I. We devoured everything we could see. I think we must have been just ready to learn. Because when I got to school, everything I saw on the blackboard I was taught, I sucked it in. I absolutely absorbed it. Well, I must have in 3 years to get as far as I did in the exams. I must have been absolutely ready like a sponge to grab it. So it just shows children don't need to be taught.
Need to just be enthused in a way, or inspired in a way, and that's really what your education did for you.
When they are ready for it, they'll take it.
Yes. The only thing is mathematics, of course, Mrs. Hodgson. You didn't.
Awful.
And they never tried with mathematics then.
Never. Never even just matches. Now, I've got 5 and I take 2 away, about what I got left. Never! They couldn't believe it. I think they used to send me down to the kindergarten, I remember, right there across the road to the junior school or something to do arithmetic. A great shame, but I didn't realise that was a shame at all. I didn't realise I was being ashamed by doing it.
What about French? Did Mrs. Pangloss always talk French to you then? I mean, any time
she would talk French to us.
She just suddenly switched into French?
Yes, any time. She'd even tell us tales in French or about, well, not so much tales, as about, always about people, you know. I suppose that was the one way of teaching us things. A lot of history and stuff like this. Charlemagne, she was keen on French history, you see, Charlemagne, all the French kings.
Did she take you to French museums or the opera or anything like that?
I can't remember that really. No. I mean, she must have taken us around the Louvre, I think, because I remember the trading round. Yes. You must remember this, Mary, you must remember this.
Yes.
Show you something. And if we go.
do have a drink, I mean, if you'd like to.
we used to, I still do it now, I suppose she must have taught us this. It's a touching stone. We go to cathedrals or an old wall, and we would touch ourselves. I will, I'm sure the others do too.
What?
She must have said, think who carved that. You know, she must have taught us the value of age, of old arts and things. You know? Well, when we were encouraged to talk, I'm thinking again of when I was readopted, about 14, expound on anything. We went out, going as it now is, rattled away because we knew this stuff, we knew what we were talking about.
And you were encouraged to express yourself, really?
Yes.
Yes, you had quite a lot of self-confidence.
When my mother gave us full rein, we went at it.
And so children weren't seen and not heard then? You were encouraged to talk to her, were you?
We had to be asked to first. We couldn't break in. We never broke in, we were broken. There was a severe look and we were covered with shame, you know.
But
if we ever said anything, she'd want us to say, now why do you say that? She'd make us work it out.
Explain.
Now it's funny that I've found my children do the same thing. They won't accept anything at face value. They'll say, why do you say that?
Well, that's now the modern technique of education, in a way, to make people explain themselves.
Work it out themselves.
Yes. But were you allowed to disagree with her then? I mean, if you said something and she... Would you be encouraged to argue with her at all, or to have a view? It's a bit early, I suppose, in life, isn't it?
I can't think. I can't understand. But she'd always say, stick to your own belief. Not about a religion, or maybe something else.
Yeah. What about the tea shop? Can you remember anything about the tea shop?
Tea shop? Well, Mrs. Duke cooked. She cooked scones and cakes and things like this. And Mother must have helped. But Christabel, now I remember Christabel, she was charm, pure charm. You could almost draw her, floating on her draperies, kind of, here is another Peter's kind of. It was too late, like the words.
Being elegant.
Yes.
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 So she was.
But we didn't do anything. We were never allowed to behave like servants or servant customers. I mean, it was never.
But you were allowed to be there, were you?
Always, we were in and out. We didn't run out of the tables and like this, but we were certainly around.
But, what was Mrs. Tuke like? She's, of course, a well-known figure in the suffrage movement.
Well, it depends.
What was she like?
She was a great fan. She was very nice. Very nice indeed.
What a sort of motherly figure was she, or what?
Yes. Rather fun. Rather naughty, you know, full of... I believe Mother and Christopher were both a bit annoyed with her here and there because she was so light-hearted, she was.
Well, and she did the cooking then?
She was making scones, and very ladylike scones and girdle cakes. And really very nice, but really didn't go.
What sort of place was it? And what was it? Just one big room, was it?
It had been a sweetie shop thing, and... where the mother had it all absolutely gutted, everything was taken out, and these tables put out with tangerine tablecloths and things. I think they were going to call it tangerine or something once, but I'm sure I remember that, because I seem to remember always tangerines, and of course there were tangerines all around this part of the country too, and there's a window box thing.
With flowers, you mean?
Yes.
Tables out on the street then?
No.
I see.
All in, but there's this great big window seat, and they had flowers and things there. It's pretty elegant, you know.
And it was just tea, really?
In fact, going through somewhere like Chipping Norton, you see some of these tea shoppers with a bow window, and it looks rather nice in there. That's how it looked. And that's, I suppose, what Mother's idea was, having a lovely Tudor kitchen business, you know.
I see. And of course, the French don't have tea, do they, really?
There was a great English colony down there, wasn't there?
I see. They were aiming at that, were they?
Yes. I think so. I couldn't tell you. That was it. And I suppose, really, the idea was, if it was a success, they'd live there forever.
There's life being in France.
Nothing happened,
Well, that's
marvellous. Or going to a circus, or going to a park, or going to a sale, anything you like.
Yeah.
The other two would go, and that one wouldn't go.
So she never went
She never changed it.
Yeah.
Never.
On it, if she said...
She didn't believe, I can see now, she didn't believe in threats. She made a promise, or she told you something, and it wasn't a threat.
And she kept to it.
Meant it.
And there was no argument.
No. Yes. Firm, which does show itself again in that...
Very decisive she was.
Yes. But we wouldn't have known that from... as children, we wouldn't have thought of her like that as grim. But we knew that if she said so. And there were no tears about it. We didn't weep at it because we knew it was no good. Yes. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
She used to quote Alice to us, you know. What is it? Alice says the White Queen. It's the White Queen. I'm going to put my fingers in, and so Alice says, well, why are you crying? I'm done. There's no crying afterwards, is it? I remember Mother, this kind of thing, you know. That was one of the books we really did know about, was Again.
That's your mother, then?
Yes.
Mm.
There were the two of them, at the Looking Glass and the one, then. Mm. We really did know it well.
Did she laugh a lot, Mrs. Pankhurst? And what did she have a sense of fun, do you think? And was it, did she make jokes? Did she
I can't
laugh?
Remember, because... she always had this charming face, smiling
she was
face.
Lady, of course,
smiling.
She really,
well, she was, wasn't she? What was she, 68 when she died?
Yes,
she?
I'm sure she'd be in her 60s.
We would never. Yes, so we never knew her as a dark haired lady woman, you see.
Yeah.
She was always grey haired or white haired.
She was, I mean, I.